This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, and boy, we are getting closer. I know I say that every week. It is rinse, repeat. Tim's going to say we're getting closer, and another episode in your feed. But hey, we are, and we're sticking to our promise. Another episode today. I'm excited for today's podcast as Paul Stone, professional handicapper, will join us here in just a little bit. And this will be a pretty short open because I have two guests for you. I always love catching up with my guy, Patrick Everson from Vegas Insider. And I think many of you know who Patrick is. And if you don't, well, you're going to have a pleasant surprise later on in the podcast because he does a really good job of checking in from behind the counter. What have we seen from a movement standpoint? Who are odds makers high on? And we're going to check in with Patrick Everson. We might do that a couple times over the summer because I think Patrick just does a tremendous job checking in from behind the counter and reporting on all of that. So two guests for you today, Paul Stone and Patrick Everson. It's like Christmas every day, or every week, I should say, over at DraftKings as they continue to put out new options to bet on. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but I think many of us, when we saw the new playoff format last year, it led to the curiosity of, hey, who are some teams we can bet to make the college football playoff? And personally, I think those bets are more intriguing and more fun to talk about than a futures bet, even though we have seen that the field may be more open than we expected. But DraftKings did post their college football odds, and there is a two-way market on a number of teams. I'm not going to go through all of them. I got yelled at for going through all of the odds a couple weeks ago. But it is worth noting there are eight teams favored to go to the playoff: Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Oregon, Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, and Clemson. All are favored to make the college football playoff right now at DraftKings, meaning you can get plus money on fading those teams if you would like to go that route. Plus 340 on the no for Ohio State. Looking at a Texas and their no, plus 250. Hey, you're not a believer in Arch Manning. Texas to miss the playoff, sitting at plus 250. So there is a no option out there. Notre Dame, plus 145 on the no, and certainly that number could rise on the no if Notre Dame goes out and wins week one against Miami. Also worth noting, G5. Who will be the G5 representative? Boise State, pretty overwhelmingly the favorite to make it in out of the group of five. And when you look at the odds board right now, Boise State, even after losing Ashton Gentry, to make the college football playoff, right now they have the 12th shortest odds at plus 190, the same odds as Texas A&M. So Boise State to make the playoffs, plus 190, to miss the playoffs, minus 250. And also you can parlay those over at DraftKings as well. So maybe next week I'll do more of a deep dive. I noticed these popped on, I think, Wednesday. So I haven't fully jumped in to all of the odds that are out there. But if you've got a team that you like and you think from a schedule standpoint could certainly make it. I mean, think back to last year. Who had in the preseason? Indiana making the college football playoff. I think many of us thought Boise State was the best G5 team. That played out that way. But if you think a team like Memphis or Tulane or Navy or James Madison, those are all teams with odds around 8-1 or longer from a G5 standpoint. So the Big 12 also is the one where I think there's a lot of value to be had. Arizona State making it a year ago. Who could it be out of the Big 12 this year? And then, you know, you think about SMU. Buzz last year, no doubt, for SMU getting into the playoff, maybe as a long shot. But, you know, who are those teams? So I think those are ones certainly to look at. And I think next week when we do another podcast, because as I will be a man of my word, at least one podcast in your feed every single week during the summer, we could take a look at those to make or miss the playoffs. And maybe there's some value on to miss the playoff. Maybe you aren't a believer in Dante Moore in Oregon and you think plus 220 on the no is certainly worth a look. So those are out now, worth noting. And before we get to a break and then Paul Stone, I did want to talk about a long shot bet that I made last week. So far on the podcast, we've got two bets officially thrown out there. Clemson to win the ACC, think that was plus 160 when we bet it. And then Notre Dame at 30-1 at the Westgate Superbook to win the national championship. Homer bet. Yeah, sure. I just also looked at the market and thought there was a big discrepancy there. Westgate has since moved down to 25-1, not because of me, obviously, but I think people noticed that there was a pretty big difference out there in the Notre Dame national championship market. But still, the best odds out there still remain at Westgate at 25-1. We talked about this with Brad Powers last week, and thanks to all of you who listened to that podcast. The numbers were huge. I really appreciate that. Let's keep that momentum rolling. But Brad and I are very high on a transfer quarterback. And I think it's worth a long shot bet. Once again, you're playing different odds out there. So Devin Dampier is making the move from New Mexico to Utah. And I totally respect David Hale and all of the other folks who anticipate John Mateer to make an enormous splash at Oklahoma. And he very well could make that splash. But a guy that I think is going to be a bigger splash is Devin Dampier at Utah. And do I think he should be 20-1 to win the Heisman Trophy? Of course not. But right now at DraftKings, you can get 100-1 on Devin Dampier to win the Heisman Trophy. And similarly to John Mateer, who gets to ride with his offensive coordinator from Washington State to Oklahoma, as pointed out by Brad last week, Devin Dampier gets the same thing. Jason Beck comes from New Mexico to go to Utah to replace Andy Ludwig. At 100-1, when Circa's at 50-1, I think Westgate's at 50-1, most of these other shops that are hanging Heisman odds are in that 50-1 range, I just had to take a shot at 100-1. And look, I'm pretty transparent here on this podcast. I took a long shot bet on Kyren Drones last year to win the Heisman Trophy from Virginia Tech. And I think that one died week one when they lost to Vanderbilt. So Utah plays UCLA week one. And if the Bruins go out and beat Utah, maybe we're in some trouble. But I also think if Devin Dampier looks as good as maybe some of us are expecting in a week one showcase game, 11 p.m. Eastern time on Fox, that could be a holy bleep moment. This dude is the real deal. So Devin Dampier, 100-1 at DraftKings. I added that to the portfolio. We'll start diving into more win total bets, game of the year bets, all of that, certainly as the summer goes on. But looking at the market, seeing the differences between Circa and some other shops as they were at 50-1, 100-1, I think certainly is worth a long shot bet. Nothing too crazy, maybe a tenth of a unit, whatever it may be. But I did throw that in there for Devin Dampier to be the Heisman Trophy winner. And feel free to throw this back in my face when he looks absolutely like shit throughout the season. I don't expect that. I think Utah very well could win the Big 12. And if they win the Big 12, they head to the playoff. Maybe we're sitting there live with a dual threat quarterback in Devin Dampier. But what I do know is that we're going to get some best bets from Paul Stone. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. Paul, one of the best in the biz, loves college football and a hell of a handicapper, won our Circa College Basketball Challenge in a runaway. So Paul trying to build off that momentum. We're going to go through a number of game of the year lines, week one lines, a couple of win totals as well. So Paul's going to come up on the other side of the break. Also check in with Patrick Everson later on in the podcast. Just a reminder, please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. And once again, if you see a stranger and you're having a conversation, I think a great conversation starter is asking them if they've heard of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast and whether or not they should subscribe to it. I think it is a great way to start conversations out there. So just throwing it out there. But yes, please give us a 5-star rating and continue to keep the momentum rolling. But quick break when we come back. Paul Stone, professional handicapper. He's got best bets for week one, game of the year lines, and a couple of win total bets as well. We'll do that next. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Conference.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And as promised, the man you know all too well, in a good way, The one and only Paul Stone joins the podcast right now. We're going to run through some game of the year lines that Paul has already bet on, some week one lines, some win totals. But Paul, I need to introduce you the proper way. The champ is here. You know, we all tried to chase you during the college basketball season, but I couldn't get there. I was happy to finish second due to tiebreakers, took it over Aaron Moore, and losing to you, you know, there's no bad L in that one. So the champion of the VSIN College Basketball Challenge, Paul Stone, joins us here. What's up, Paul?
Well, glad to be with you, Tim. Here we are in early June, already talking college football. So I'm just excited that there's people in this space like yourself. Oh, yeah. who just love college football at the same level as myself. So really looking forward to getting into a little discussion and talking about some teams that we're looking at and giving out some recommendations on some games. And certainly appreciate the recognition for the victory there in the VSIN College Basketball Invitational. Probably luck more than anything, but I'll take a victory over such an esteemed collection of fellow participants anytime I get it. So
No luck, Paul, when you absolutely mop the field like you did. But I know you're too humble to brag, so I'll brag for you. And I was going to play The Champ Is Here, but I think copyright reasons, I wasn't allowed to play that. But let's get right into it in week one, because there's so many great games in week one, and I'm really fired up. I'm always fired up for week one of college football season. But let's be honest, some years it doesn't have the firepower as it does this year, where we've got no bigger game than Ohio State and Texas to start the season on Labor Day weekend. We also get LSU traveling to Clemson. We get Notre Dame and Miami. But a game on Friday that you've got a best bet on, and I think it's one that people, I don't want to say are overlooking, but I think it is a very good game. And it's Auburn going to Waco to take on Baylor. And, you know, we've done a lot of talk, Paul, on this pod about quarterbacks. And I think Sawyer Robertson is one that is going to, as the summer months go on, get a lot more hype. And I think rightfully so, with the stats that he had to close out last year. And then you've got the, you know, big season for the Auburn Tigers, and more than likely a hot seat type of situation there for Hugh Freeze and that quarterback room of Jackson Arnold. Ashton Daniels comes in from Stanford, and then the highly touted prospect in Deuce Knight. So right now, Baylor, a slight home dog catching 2.5. What are you looking at in week one, a Friday night game in Waco?
Yeah, first of all, I'm like you, Tim. This game probably not getting the proper recognition. There are some big games that opening weekend, but this Friday night game on Fox on the banks of the Brazos there at McLean Stadium has certainly caught my eye. Very excited about it. First of all, you know, looking at my end of season power ratings from last season and also three other power rating sources that I utilize for comparison purposes, we all had Auburn and Baylor ending the 2024 season at the pretty much the exact same power rating number. You know, Baylor, if you averaged all of us, the four of us, Baylor actually fractionally better. You know, and I think these two teams, just using that kind of as a reference point, I think they're pretty even to begin the 2025 season. So, you know, I'm more inclined to make all this just to point out, I'm more inclined to make Baylor about a 2.5 or 3 point favorite in this game rather than the other way around. I know Auburn's a team that in fairly recent history has won a national championship not all that long ago, played for another. So they have a little bit of a name recognition advantage. And also, I think the number might reflect the SEC tariff, you know, so to speak. But I think that's a real thing. But, you know, Baylor, they fairly quietly had a nice season last year, closed the regular season with 6 straight victories, got beat in the bowl game by LSU. But this is an offense, and they returned 9 starters by one count. Not only their quarterback, Sawyer Robertson, but they returned 9 starters from an offense that averaged 39.9 points per game over their final 7 games. So over their final 7 games of the 2024 season, they averaged basically 40 points a game. They return Robertson. They return a 1,000-yard rusher in Bryson Washington. Their top receiver, Josh Cameron, also a dynamic return man. And then they return four offensive linemen. You can't ever underestimate the big guys up front. Defensively, they gave up almost 29 points a game, gave up 403 yards per game. They need to get better, and I think they'll be a little bit better on defensively, on the defensive side of the ball, although certainly their bread and butter is playing high-octane offense. You look at Auburn, they finished 5-7 last year, another losing record for the Tigers. Three of their five victories over Alabama, A&M, New Mexico, and Louisiana Monroe. The Tigers do play in the tougher league, though. Should be better. You know, they picked up some pieces in the transfer portal, and certainly to me, the top of those being Georgia Tech wide receiver Eric Singleton Jr. That guy's caught over 100 passes the last couple of years. So a big-time pickup there for the Tigers. And you mentioned their quarterback situation. All three of those guys might play. I know they would like Jackson Arnold to be the guy and have Deuce Knight, you know, wait his turn, so to speak. But Jackson Arnold certainly lukewarm results, to put it mildly, there at Oklahoma. So we'll see how that all pans out. They could play one or all three before the season ends. But again, I like this Baylor team. I love their offense. They're getting some points. I like Baylor plus 2.5 over Auburn and have played that game in week one.
Yeah, it is a game, and certainly you mentioned it, a lot of nuggets there and great stuff as always, because Baylor top 10 in the country in returning production, according to SP Plus. And I know that's something that a lot of people subscribe to, and we'll get to another team that brings back a ton of production here in just a little bit. But that one should be a good one. And you know, you're speaking our language, me and Matt Newmans, when we do this podcast throughout the season on Thursdays. Always people joke, well, Tim and Matt will be taking home dogs. And yeah, I mean, in college football, home dogs is certainly advantageous at times, not all the time. You can't blindly bet anything. Sticking in week one, you know, the whole board is out, obviously, and we're going to get to game of the year lines. But an interesting game that you've noted is Kentucky hosting Toledo. So this will be an early afternoon game. We know kick times. It'll be 12:45 Eastern down there in Lexington. And Toledo is a team that, you know, is always going to be one of the better teams in the MAC. And I believe if you look at G5 win totals, Paul, Toledo, one of a handful that are at 8.5. The only one higher is Boise State, who is expected to be the G5 representative yet again in the college football playoff. So Toledo catching double digits. Are you interested in a little Maction week one against Kentucky?
Well, indeed I am, Tim. And you know, I'll say, first of all, this is much a play against Kentucky as anything. But certainly Toledo, they have fared well, as you know, against some power conference opponents here in recent years. Just last year in Mississippi State, obviously one of the worst Power Four teams in the nation last year. But the Rockets went into Starkville last year as 10.5-point underdogs, absolutely thrashed the Bulldogs 41-17. And then in 2023, their season opener, Toledo travels to Illinois as 9-point underdogs, competitive the whole game, in position to win, only lose 30-28, but get the cover again. They were thrashed, gave up over 70 to Ohio State in 2022. But when we go back to 2021, and you'll remember this game probably, they
should have beat Notre Dame.
Go to South Bend, right, as 17-point underdogs. Very well could have won that game, maybe should have won that game. They fall by a narrow 32-29 margin. So I think even though these were different teams, different times, you know, I think Toledo comes into a game like this knowing that historically this program has had success. And you look at their opponent in this opener, Kentucky of the Southeastern Conference, frankly, they're just not able to compete as well as they need to in the portal. That they were net losers in the portal this offseason, lost their two best receivers, I believe Berrian Brown and Dane Key. Didn't have a whole lot of offense to begin with. Zach Calzada is going to be their quarterback. He's had very marginal success, you know, as a one-time starter at Texas A&M, and then he's also started a lot of games at Incarnate Word. But, you know, they're just below you know, Power Four level at some key positions. Again, they were net losers in the portal. I made Kentucky actually, or felt Kentucky would be somewhere between a 7.5 and a 9.5 point home favorite in this game. So the double digit points here, certainly attractive. I took Toledo plus 11.5 over Kentucky in Lexington.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that Jason Candle still at Toledo. Think about it. He's been there in some form or fashion since 2009. He's been the head coach since 2016. And, you know, I think when he is the favorite, Paul, to your point, it's mixed results. But when he's in that underdog role, more often than not, they're pretty feisty. And, yeah, I remember that game very vividly in 2021, where Notre Dame more than fortunate to sneak out with a win over Toledo. Weren't as fortunate last year against Northern Illinois, but I digress from that. Worth noting, Toledo, as you mentioned, a lot returning. 13th in the country, according to SB Plus, and returning offensive production at 75%. So two week one plays for Paul right now. Let's get to some of those game of the year lines. We talked about them in depth when Matt Grill jumped on the program last week from DraftKings Sportsbook. And I want to start with a game that I know you talked to Mitch and Paul about on Follow the Money earlier this week. And we've seen a little bit of movement in the juice, but the three still sits there. And that's Illinois at Indiana. We're going to dive into Indiana's win total here in just a moment. But Illinois is a team, if you look at returning production, and if that's a big proponent of your handicap, they're certainly a team that brings back a lot from a year ago. Luke Altmaier back for another season. Indiana, they go out to get Fernando Mendoza at the quarterback position from Cal. But right now, Illinois still hanging as a three-point underdog at Indiana. Paul, juice has moved a little bit to minus 120. Interested in the dog here at all in this spot?
Absolutely. You know, Illinois won 10 games last season, and you mentioned already they return a lot of experience on both sides of the ball, including, as you mentioned, that third year starting quarterback in Luke Altmaier. Also return a lot of people on defense. Got a linebacker, I think Gabe Jacobs, is that their big linebacker there at Illinois? I believe that is correct. And in any case, just minimal losses. They did lose their top two receivers, one of those being a third-round draft choice in the NFL draft, Pat Bryant. Also lost Zachary Franklin, so they've got to replace those guys. But most everyone else of note does return for the Fighting Illini. You look at this Indiana team. Off last year's improbable run to the 12-team playoff. You know, the Hoosiers, they do return, you know, pretty solid core of contributors as well. But you talked about the quarterback transition from Curtis Rourke, who came from Ohio University in the offseason before last season, just came up aces for the Hoosiers, a huge part of that just rebirth there for Indiana and that improbable season. And now they bring in Fernando Mendoza, and Mendoza is certainly going to have more weapons at his disposal, a better supporting cast, if you will, there in Bloomington. But he's thrown 16 interceptions over the past two seasons, so you have to worry about ball security. They were plus 15 in turnovers last year, was Indiana. I think they maybe led the nation in turnover differential at plus 15. They were certainly close if they didn't lead it. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a regression to the mean there. You look at this Indiana team, and not to demean what they did last year, but their 11 victories, they were favored in all 11 games. They didn't upset anybody. And in nine of those games, they were favored by 6.5 points or more. And then the two times they played, they stepped up in class, the underdog against Ohio State, and then Notre Dame in the playoff. You know, they certainly weren't competitive against Ohio State. And even though the final score looks pretty, you know, decent against Notre Dame, they trailed that game pretty significantly by double digits, I think, throughout from the start of the second quarter on. I don't think that game was really highly competitive, in my opinion. So I think they were a little bit perhaps – overblown last year, you know, beat a lot of teams decisively that were frankly not very good teams. The only Power Four team I believe they beat with a winning record in conference was Michigan, and Michigan was 5-4. So I think Illinois is a better football team entering this season. The line of three basically infers that these teams are even in terms of power rating. I think Illinois is better. I'll take the Fighting Illini plus 3 over Indiana.
All right, well, let's get into it. Their win total right now for Indiana sits at 8.5. And, you know, Paul, sometimes you have to define the time to jump off. So last year, many of us at the network liked Indiana to go over 5.5 wins. And you might not find an easier win total ever than over 5.5 wins for a team that went 11-1 in the regular season. Now it jumps to 8.5. The juice varies. The best juice to the under is at DraftKings at minus $1.25. And looking at the schedule, as you pointed out, you've got Illinois at home, at Iowa, at Oregon, at Penn State, Wisconsin at home, which could be, we'll see what the Badgers look like this year. Non-con, very manageable, Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State all at home. But Indiana, does Kirk Cignetti keep rolling and get this team to 9 wins? Or do you think there is a slight step back with the Hoosiers this year?
Yeah, and I've touched on some of it, and you've made some of my points as well. But I think there's going to be a slight, step back this year. I think 2024 was just a magical season for Indiana. They kind of became the nation and the media's darlings, if you will, of the 2024 college football season. You look at this team, and again, the teams that they beat 8 Power 4 teams, all from the Big Ten. Those teams had a collective conference record of 21-51. So that just talks about the type of people they beat. Again, Michigan at 5-4, the only one of those teams that ended up with a winning record there in conference. Obviously, they're going to go 3-0 is Indiana non-conference play, but they have a number of losable games, and that's what it comes down to is the games that they potentially can lose, the games that will be competitive. And I think, at Oregon and at Penn State are very highly probable, both losses. And then they have a number of games that could go either way, one of those being this game at home against Illinois. I think they'll be an underdog at Iowa. At Maryland, they're going to be probably favored, but not decisively. And then the home game at Wisconsin. So I think 8-4, I think that'd be a really good year number 2 for Kirk Cignetti there in Bloomington. So I like that under 8.5, minus 1.25 at DraftKings.
All right, we're going to make some enemies here on this podcast. I got told I don't talk enough Indiana, so we're talking Indiana, and I don't know if people are going to love what we're talking about regarding Indiana. You know, one of the best weekends, if you look ahead and you're mapping it out, and, you know, there's always those people, Paul, who say, all right, this is the weekend no one needs to get married on. September 27th is loaded. You've got Penn State, Oregon. That's going to be a whiteout game there in Happy Valley. You've got Georgia, Alabama. And then you've also got LSU going down to Ole Miss. And, you know, both of these teams coming into this season, always high expectations, right around, that 25-40-1 range, both of these squads to win the national championship. So both are in the top 10 of futures odds heading into this year. And LSU is catching 2.5 in the game of the year line in Oxford on September 27th.
Yeah, Tim, I'll tell you, I'm not sure any program fared any better in the all-season transfer portal than LSU. I mean, this is a team, and 24/7 Sports agrees with that assessment. They actually ranked the Tigers number 1 in their transfer portal rankings. But because of these additions, and I won't go through each and every one of them, but they have no obvious holes on the roster. They've got a veteran quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier, who will be one of the preseason, or is one of the preseason betting favorites for the Heisman Trophy. They're pretty much set up nicely throughout their lineup on both sides of the ball. One of the additions through the portal, I think, that will be really significant for LSU is that of Florida State defensive end Patrick Payton. I think he's going to give them an instant pass rushing threat there on the edge. Ole Miss, though, while LSU is pretty much set, Ole Miss can certainly not say the same. By one estimation, and I know it's a different world now in college football with the transfer portal, NIL, and all of that. And one of the ways that it's different is what constitutes a returning starter. You know, so much of our preparation used to be about returning starters, and now I think our definitions might be different. But I saw one publication that listed Ole Miss is only having 4 returning starters total. And I know that Lane Kiffin is the self-proclaimed portal king. But I think there's just a lot of work to do. They go from a first-round draft choice at quarterback, Jackson Dart, to most likely Austin Simmons, a guy that they're really high on, really athletic. But Simmons last year served as Dart's backup, only threw 32 passes. So he's very, very lightly seasoned, if you will. He's going to get the first shot at the job. But I looked at this game, make lines on these games. I made LSU a little bit more than a field goal favorite. So I rarely have a different side favored than the line maker. So, you know, I just like the situation. LSU has a lot of known commodities. Ole Miss has a lot of questions. I took LSU plus 2.5 over Ole Miss. I fully expect they'll be the favorite team the week of the game.
You know, Paul, you and I and many others listening here love to scour the schedule and look for situational spots. And a couple that jumped out to me when these game of the year lines were posted, and you've got one of them on your list, and that's October 25th, South Carolina at home, catching 7.5. And South Carolina, look, they've got a lot of buzz. Are they going to be able to live up to that? We will see. But catching 7.5, and I would imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine one of the reasons that you're intrigued by this is who Alabama plays the week prior. Always the third week in October, it's Alabama, Tennessee. You celebrate by smoking a stogie. And last year, Tennessee was smoking those stogies. So Tuscaloosa will be hosting a spot here against Tennessee the week prior to South Carolina. So the Gamecocks, October 25th, Paul, catching 7.5 at home against the Crimson Tide. Do you like Lenora Sellers and company here in this spot?
Yeah, I tell you, I really do. And, you know, not only will they be playing Tennessee the week prior, but the week after playing South Carolina, not the week after, because there'll be a bye off week actually for Alabama, but 2 weeks after their immediate next game, they'll be playing LSU there in Tuscaloosa. What's a big game? But, I like a number of little angles about this game, South Carolina hosting Alabama there in Columbia. First of all, you know, I always want to, you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, give elements of information on both sides. You know, this South Carolina team, they lose a number of key performers, and that includes five guys on the defensive side of the ball who were picked in this past April's NFL draft. So that's a lot of talent. You do mention, though, one of the guys they do return, that being Heisman Trophy contending quarterback Lenora Sellers, truly one of the top dual threat quarterbacks in all of college football. They're going to hold a sizable advantage of that critical quarterback position over Alabama, regardless of, you know, whether Alabama goes with Ty Simpson or Keelon Russell steps in by then or whatever the case might be. So they're going to be in the checkmark side of that quarterback competition there between the two schools. And I also look at the fact I'm not a huge point spread roll guy because they can these things can be a little bit dicey. But Alabama in recent years has not thrived as an away favorite. I mean, you look since the start of 2021 season, they're only 7-12 against the spread as an away favorite. So I certainly looked at that just, you know, slightly just adds a little credence to my position here. And then last year's game, I mean, South Carolina goes into Tuscaloosa as a 22-point underdog. Actually led that game entering the fourth quarter, did South Carolina. Ultimately lost 27-25, but certainly could have won that game. Easy cover there. In South Carolina, while Alabama has not performed well as an away favorite, South Carolina in recent years, at least last year, I should say, has thrived or did thrive as an underdog 1 year ago, went 5-1 against the spread, and that included last year outright victories as an underdog over Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Clemson. And they had, in my opinion anyway, and I don't get emotional about these things, and I don't talk about officiating a whole lot, but I think they had another potential win basically stolen from them against LSU, in my opinion anyway. There were some very questionable calls in that game if you watched it. But I think South Carolina by now, by October 25th, by that point on the schedule, some of those newcomers, those first-time starters, would have kind of, you know, got their feet under themselves, so to speak. I like South Carolina plus 7.5 over Alabama.
All right, let's go into the month of November, and I know it's not called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It's the Drink Responsibly Bowl, whatever they're calling it these days, but it's a good rivalry. That's all we care about, and that's Florida and Georgia. Played in Jacksonville every single year, and so you got a true neutral feel. Obviously, both fan bases show up quite large for this particular game. And look, Florida's a team that exceeded expectations last year. We like to refer to their coach as Sunbelt Billy, but Billy Napier has done a pretty good job, at least last year, with the amount of pressure that was on him. And a lot of it has to do with the excitement at quarterback and DJ Lagway. So you've got the Gators right now in the game of the year line catching 9.5 against Georgia in this rivalry spot. Are we looking at the dog here against the dogs, Paul?
Well, I tell you, first of all, looking at the end of that 2024 season, you know, Florida went into Austin and they had to start an Ivy League quarterback, a guy whose experience was largely in the Ivy League. And against that Longhorn defense, it just wasn't a good look. They got really trounced by the Longhorns. But then DJ Lagway came back the next game with Billy Napier on the ropes. DJ Lagway saved his job. The Gators won four straight games. Two of those were home underdog victories over LSU and Ole Miss. And I think that momentum really serves them well going into the 2025 season. And Florida is probably one of the teams that I'm more bullish on compared to the market than perhaps any other team in college football. And it starts with DJ Lagway. You know, he was quite limited in spring practice. He has started throwing. They're fully expecting him to be 100% by the start of the season. But I think DJ Lagway, if healthy, I think he might be the best quarterback in college football. He's very, you know, been following this kid for a long time. He's from Willis, Texas, which is just about 50 miles north of Houston. And those of us who have covered college football through the years, you'll remember a guy from Willis, Texas, in the late 1990s, I believe, who played quarterback at Kansas State by the name of Michael Bishop. So they went to the same high school there in Willis outside of Houston. But I really like DJ Lagway. Georgia, you know, this is a team that arguably has been the sport's gold standard for much of the last five, six or so years. But it has to replace, you know, a number of top shelf performers. Certainly last year on offense, you could just tell how much they missed not only a generational tight end in Brock Bowers, but Ladd McConkey. I think he was his loss was underestimated. And now we go into 2025, and they had 13 players picked in this past April's NFL draft. Obviously, they reload and don't rebuild, but they've got some new players. And certainly one of those is their quarterback, Gunnar Stockton. And I think it's fair. I love his moxie. He's a tough guy. A physical guy, but it's fair to, you know, question whether or not Stockton's going to be a championship caliber quarterback. The jury's still out on that. You know, I think Florida, they've clearly narrowed the gap between their talent level and Georgia's. I think they're going to keep it close this year. They kept it close last year, midway through the fourth quarter, tied at 20 before Florida scores a couple of late touchdowns. And actually in that game, Lagway left in the second quarter. So they had to go with the Ivy Leaguer for most of that game as well. So I just think Florida's going to keep this one tied. I made the number 6 in this game, so I'll gladly take the Gators plus 9.5 over the Dogs.
Paul, I'm loving every second of this. Let's do two more to wrap up. We'll do one game of the year and one win total. And we'll go to you and I are college hoop guys, as mentioned. You crushed it in the Circa College Hoops Challenge, which was created by humans. And we've got a basketball rivalry that we're going to talk football about. November 22nd, let's go to Chapel Hill. Duke at UNC. Friend of the network, Chris Massaro, when I put out my top 12 rankings for quarterbacks, gave me a little grief because I did not have Tulane transfer Darian Mensah on my list. But I think no doubt that was a huge addition for Manny Diaz. Very quickly, they went out and got him. And then obviously, Paul, we know what's been unfolding down there at UNC. A lot of uncertainty off the field, wackiness. Duke right now catching three against their arch rival just down the street, UNC.
You know, obviously, and we won't go into depth too much about Coach Belichick, but his first season as a college football head coach at age 73 is going to draw lots of attention. And it's already drawn lots of attention, maybe not for the right reasons, but we're still almost 3 months from the season's opening kickoff. I'm not even sure if he's going to be on the sideline for that first game. Who knows? But I think to get, you know, more to the breakdown of this game, I mean, college football in today's age, more than ever, is about talent acquisition. And I just don't see this year's edition of the Tar Heels. I know you can get, you know, kind of intoxicated. Some fans might, some handicappers might, by the addition of Bill Belichick, a six-time Super Bowl champion, as North Carolina's head coach. But I just don't see the Tar Heels as being any better than last year's UNC team that went 6-7 overall and 3-5 in ACC play. I mean, when he took that job, I assumed that the administration sold him on a NIL program that was going to allow him to compete for the very best talent. And I hate to break it to people, but that just wasn't the case this offseason. I mean, I think they were net losers, although some rank them as having a good offseason. They were net losers in the transfer portal. I mean, they got, you know, a quarterback who I think will be, you know, maybe pretty good in Gio Lopez from South Alabama. But he wasn't even on the first three teams of the All-Sun Belt Conference team this past season. He was an honorable mention selection. And then you talked about Darian Mensa from Tulane, just a dynamic athlete there. This Duke team, to me, year in and year out, they do more with less. They're 26-13 outright the last three seasons. You know, I just think, again, this line basically infers that these teams are even on a neutral field. And I just think Duke's got the better roster without question. I'll take Duke plus three over North Carolina in that battle of Tobacco Road rivals.
All right, Paul, let's wrap with the win total. Texas A&M, this is interesting. Depending on what shop you look at, their win total varies from 8.5 to 7.5. 8.5 juiced under at DraftKings. It's 8 at Circa, and then 7.5 juiced over at BetMGM. So in theory, you could try to middle it and have this team end up with 8 wins. So worth noting, no Georgia, Bama, Tennessee, Ole Miss on the schedule, but road games against Notre Dame, LSU and Texas, where they're an underdog in the game of the year lines in all of those. 7 to Notre Dame, 4.5 to LSU, and 10.5 to Texas. They also have to play Florida, at Arkansas, at Missouri, and home to South Carolina. So Mike Elko, year two, a lot of production returning down there in College Station. What do you expect from Gig'em Aggie in year two of the Mike Elko era?
Yeah, and I am making this recommendation at the under 8.5 at the minus 150 that you see there at DraftKings right now. I could see under 8 as well. I don't know that I would mess with the under 7.5. But, you know, you look at it, and again, when we examine these regular season win totals on a team-by-team basis, one of the main things we're going to look at, as you pointed out, is going to be that schedule. And you pointed out three games on the road against a trio of teams that are all going to be in the Associated Press's top 10 at Notre Dame, at LSU, and at Texas. So at under 8.5, if they lose those three games as expected, if they lose one more game, they're going to go under again this year if you do get the under 8.5 at minus 150. And you mentioned that schedule. The other games that they have to play, I mean, trips to trips to Arkansas and Missouri are certainly not tap-ins. They've got home games against Florida and South Carolina. Both of those teams are going to be preseason top 20 almost certainly. So that schedule is arduous, to put it mildly. Last year, and this doesn't have too much to do with this year, but last year, Texas A&M, they lost four games outright as the betting favorite. So they lost four games outright that they were favored in. They were favored by 4.5 points or fewer in all four of those. So a little bit misleading, but still something to ponder. I think the Aggies, I think 8-4 would be a nice record for them in Elko's second year. I recommend A&M under 8.5, minus 150 regular season wins.
Well, I recommend following Paul on Twitter, at Paul Stone Sports. He joins VSiN all the time. He's one of the best, puts in the work, and he will never be out there touting his chest, but I'll do it for him. He's tremendous, and we love having Paul all over the network. Paul, this was awesome. I know we could have done this for forever, so we'll definitely check in with you later on in the football offseason here as we get closer and closer to kickoff. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks for having me, Tim. I love talking college football with someone who loves the sport as much as I do, and good luck this season, everyone out there, and thanks for having me, and hope to be on again soon.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And thanks again to Paul Stone for jumping on the podcast and running through some of his favorite early bets. And always excited to talk to my good friend over at Vegas Insider. You see his tweet storms throughout the football season, but a man who is, as I like the term, the busiest man in Vegas. He's always running around town doing an amazing job. My guy, Patrick Everson, joins his, I would say, I think, maiden voyage here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We've obviously had you on many of shows on VSiN, and you were kind enough to join me in studio on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line last Sunday afternoon. So, Mr. Everson, welcome to the podcast, and I know many of our listeners know who you are, but appreciate you jumping on.
No, I'm happy to do it. I believe this is my maiden voyage on the College Football Podcast, so I'm glad to be a part of it as we... You know, we're within 3 months. It can't come fast enough for all of us. I'm sure everybody's kind of jonesing for football season, and especially with NBA and NHL starting to wind down and you just get baseball. We're really about to hit the dog days of summer here.
Yeah, we are. College baseball has been kind of fun to watch. Patrick does a really fun job, and I'll be honest, Patrick, as someone who hosts a Saturday and Sunday show, and I do the Saturday show solo talking college football, your tweets are really beneficial. Always give you shouts for them on Saturday. So for people who haven't seen them and follow Patrick on social media at Patrick_E_Vegas, give us a little background to the tweet storms that you give out every Saturday and Sunday. When do you get your information? Is it compiled on Friday nights, early Saturday mornings? How does it all come together? And ultimately, how do you get to firing off those tweets as rapidly as you do early Saturday and Sunday mornings?
Well, it was something, I don't know if it was the 2016 season or the 2017 season, but somewhere in there, I just decided that this would be kind of a fun thing to do. And it was very small at first, and then it got like huge. And I was trying to take on like literally 15 to 20 games and try to get all this stuff out on a Saturday, you know, early on a Saturday morning before the early kickoff started. And I've since kind of realized, look, 15 to 20 games is kind of ambitious and you don't want to overload your followers too much. So I've tried to narrow it down to, you know, maybe 8 to 10 games, focusing on 5 or 6, because, you know, every week with the college football schedule, you've generally got like, you know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 really key games that the public is going to be really interested in, and that even the sharp bettors are going to take some interest in. And most of the information I get literally the morning as I'm putting it out. Some of it I compile late on the night before, so late on Friday nights. Scott Shelton, who works for BetMGM Nevada here in Las Vegas, he was with, you know, MGM Resort Sportsbooks long before sports betting expanded. He's been there since the early 2000s. He's my go-to there. He gives me a bunch of great information really late on Friday night that tends to not change much by 6 in the morning here in Vegas. So he gives me a lot of great stuff on Friday night to kind of give me the Vegas vibe on how things are being bet. And the same thing on Saturday night when we're talking NFL for Sunday. And then everything else, you know, BetMGM nationally. Tom Gable at Borgata, he's a super huge help. I know he's a great source for you and a regular on your programs. Really a great odds maker in New Jersey. The folks at Prime Sports are really, really good. And it's always interesting to get their take because they are, you know, considered a sharper book along the lines of a, I mean, I wouldn't say at the level of a Circa, but certainly along the lines of a Circa. They try to do the kinds of things that Circa does. They'll take a bet, move a number, that sort of thing. And so they're really good. They're part of that mix as well. And I think people like to see them in there, even though they're, it's not a FanDuel or a DraftKings or a BetMGM. They get an idea of, okay, where are the sharp people at? We want to know that too. And, you know, tend to want to be on the sharp side, you know?
Yep, no doubt about it. No, it's it really is a good resource. And I always, whenever I get information, usually on Saturdays from my guy, Chuck Esposito, I shoot it your way. And I know people like it. And, you know, I know it's a lot of work, but always appreciate those on Saturday and Sunday morning. So as mentioned, I was just perusing social media on Wednesday night, and I saw some tweets pop up from College Football Standpoint. I said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's let the people know what is out there right now. We had Matt Grill on the podcast last week. Really good stuff there from DraftKings, and you've got a ton of information from BetMGM. So let's run through it. Right now, your betting favorites at almost every book is going to be Texas and Ohio State in some order. And BetMGM, as of today, Texas and Ohio State sit as co-favorites to win the national championship, Patrick. So what have you heard from behind the counter regarding the Longhorns and Ohio State, who coincidentally meet week one in Columbus?
That's the massive, massive game, obviously, and a great way to start the season with those two teams at the top of the odds board, too. So I was going back and forth on this with Seamus McGee. He's the trading manager for BetMGM. And this is a situation that works out well. I mean, look, you deal with odds makers all the time. I know you talk with, obviously, the Circa folks regularly and Tom Gable regularly and among many others. But it's great when you get to talk to somebody who's also really into the sport that you're talking to them about. And that's Seamus McGee with college football. He really, really loves his college football. And so he's really dialed in on it. And that's not to take away from any other odds maker that we talked to on this, but he's pretty dialed in on this. And we had a good back and forth a couple of days ago about college football national championship. What he had to say about the two teams at the top: Texas has taken the most bets and the most money of any team in the country. So they are the favorite, and they are also the team that people like the most at this point in terms of tickets and dollars. Now, he did say the Longhorns are still a good result for BetMGM at this very early stage in the futures book, but he said there's plenty of excitement around them. And the reason they're not necessarily a liability is strictly a product of their price at 5-1, as you alluded to. And he thinks they're pretty good. He's like, I think they can make a run for the whole thing. I don't think that surprises anybody based on, you know, where Texas finished last year. He likes Arch Manning a good bit. And as for Ohio State is number two in terms of tickets at BetMGM, but they're a little further back in terms of money at fourth. And I should probably, don't want to couch this, but the caveat that this is what McGee is drawing from is retail and digital. Now, most of the betting these days is digital, mobile and online betting. And if you were only to take into account BetMGM's digital numbers, then you have Texas number one in tickets and money, Ohio State number two in tickets and money. But when you factor in retail, Ohio State number two in tickets, but number four overall when you combine retail and the online mobile market. So they're both seeing a good bit of action, but Texas a fair amount more, and a couple of other teams taking a few more dollars than Ohio State at this point. And what Seamus said is with regard to the Buckeyes, he said there's definitely less interest than there was at this point last year in Ohio State, but still fairly popular.
So who is number two and number three in money if Texas is one and Ohio State is four?
So at this stage, you've got Penn State up there.
Okay.
I think Penn State is one of the, I'm kind of surmising from, I'm looking at one graphic that has a whole bunch of numbers and then surmising a little bit from what has been passed on to me from Seamus McGee at BetMGM. So Penn State, I would assume, is the number two team based on what I'm seeing here. He didn't tell me who the other team was that was in front of Ohio State in terms of money. I am going to guess, though, and it's a reasonably good guess. I think it's Clemson. It might be Notre Dame, but it's one of those two.
All right. Well, let's get to Clemson, because I've joked, Patrick, for a couple of weeks here. This has become the Clemson VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, because so many people on this podcast, including me, Really like Clemson this year. And if you looked at SP Plus, they're number one in the country in returning production. We saw a number of books. They were at 20-1, maybe even a little bit higher. They're now around 16-1 at most shops, including BetMGM is, I believe, at 16-1 as well. So what has Seamus McGee said about Clemson and the action that they've seen? Because I know a number of other books have talked about Clemson and the amount of attraction they have drawn behind the counter.
Yes, and that is certainly the case at BetMGM as well. What McGee said was Clemson has gotten a lot of love from bettors this offseason. He said they're one of the top liabilities at the moment, being, you know, a little bit long. I mean, they're not like long odds. They're not long shots by any stretch. But when you compare them to a 5-1 Texas and Ohio State, 20-1 is, you know, liability will build up if a team gets if a team's pretty popular there. And that's the case. You know, he notes they bring back Cade Klubnik and essentially the entire team from last year. And he noted, he said, look, it's a far cry from last year when it didn't feel like there was much trust in the program after they, you know, after Dabo Swinney and co. did not, you know, they just haven't utilized the transfer portal the way other top end teams have. McGee said he feels like this team is, you know, in a better spot this year. And I think, as you've alluded to, you've talked to other people who believe that as well and think Clemson is worth a shot here in the early going at a little bit longer odds, and their number has come in a little bit because of that.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking at it right now. I just pulled up my my app here, and I was put together a graphic a couple weeks ago, Patrick, looking at the odds, and MGM as of last week was 16-1, and right now as I look at my app, they're down to 13-1. So that money continues to come in on Clemson, and I know DraftKings was at 20-1 less than a month ago, and I don't know where MGM was at, but it is interesting to note that Clemson, based off of early action, seems to be a very popular team, and obviously you've heard that as well.
Yes, definitely. And in fact, I'm looking at DK and FanDuel right now, and DK is into 15.
Yep.
FanDuel's at 14. You just noted BetMGM is now all the way into 13, and they were 16 just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So this is on the move just over the last couple of days. So Clemson is definitely a real is definitely getting some attention. I would bet there's some of the sharper set on Clemson as well there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, when you think about the ACC, I do have a ticket in pocket. We talked about on the podcast, not national championship, but ACC champion ticket at around +160. And that's been on the move a little bit too. And obviously, if they win the ACC, they're going to the college football playoff, and you got yourself a decent ticket there if that is the case. So look, what's so fun about week one, as we've discussed here on the pod, Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and then on Sunday night of Labor Day weekend, I think most people will find it fun. I don't know if I will. They will see. I will be there in attendance down at Hard Rock Stadium, Notre Dame and Miami. And I'm curious what you've heard, not only about this game, Patrick, but the interest of bettors on both Notre Dame and Miami as they are scheduled to face off in week one, where Notre Dame right now at DraftKings is a 2.5-point favorite.
Right. I think there's certainly good interest in Notre Dame, although at BetMGM, and I'm going to double check here. Yeah, they're sitting 14-1 at BetMGM, which is where they've been for most of the past month. They opened at 12-1, the Fighting Irish did. So they've actually slid back a little bit, but they're in the top five in tickets and money at BetMGM. So that's a popular team. Miami is in probably, as I look at this, it's probably the top dozen or so in tickets and money, but it's nominal compared to the money that, you know, they're literally only taking maybe about a third, a little, you know, between a quarter and a third of the money that Notre Dame is taking, tickets and money, and significantly less money than, say, Ohio State and Texas, like literally only, you know, 20% of the tickets. And Texas is blowing this open and handle it, BetMGM. It's almost 20% of all money on the championship futures are on Texas. So nobody's really close to that. But as far as Miami goes, down the list a little bit. So maybe some value there. And they have moved a little bit at BetMGM. They opened at 35-1. And I'm double checking just to make sure this is right. I've got it. Yeah, they're at 30-1 now. So they've shortened a little bit. And as you look at just, you know, the week one game itself, between those two, since we're talking about them and they happen to meet up, that line opened two. I'm looking at DraftKings numbers on this. They opened 2.5 at DraftKings. No movement off of that at all to this point. And I, you know, I, you and I both know, and all your listeners know, there's not a whole lot of money in the pot on week one games yet. People aren't going to get that. And they might get enthused as soon as the schedule comes out, and then there's going to be a significant lull. But that notwithstanding, at DK, 90% of early tickets money on the spread on Notre Dame, and fairly similar numbers on the money line. They're taking Notre Dame on the money line as well. Even though is that a home tilt for Miami?
Yeah.
Or is
that
a neutral? Okay.
No, it's home. It'll be down there at Hard Rock Stadium. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to. The last time I was there last January, it was lovely. Notre Dame's comeback win over Penn State. But I still have nightmares. They wake me up in the middle of the night thinking about the 2017 game when Notre Dame walked down there and lost 41-8 to Mark Richt's squad. So hopefully it is more history repeating itself of January of 24 or 25 as opposed to November of 2017. We had Brad Powers on the podcast last week, and we went through a bunch of teams, and one of the teams he was high on is Alabama. And look, you're not going on a massive limb to be high on Alabama. However, I will say, and as Brad pointed out, it does feel like a team that's kind of flying under the radar, as crazy as that seems. And when you're looking for a long shot, and I got a text from a buddy last week, and he had a free bet at some sports book back east, and he said, who should I take a long shot flyer on? And I said, to be honest, either Clemson or Alabama, both I think were 16-1 at that respective shop that he was looking at. So Patrick, what have we heard about the Crimson Tide, and are folks still all in on Alabama after a disappointing 9-4 season, or is there a little bit of hesitancy there with year two of Kalen DeBoer in Tuscaloosa?
I would say there's some hesitancy, just, statistical evidence, not necessarily discussions I've had with anybody to this point. But at BetMGM, for example, Alabama opened 12-1, and not like a long shot by any stretch, but they've moved out a little bit to 15-1, and they're just barely hovering in the as far as digital betting, the digital betting market, again, mobile and online betting, which again is the overwhelming majority. But with the BetMGMs and Caesars of the world, there's also a retail element that sometimes can be significant, particularly with big bets. You tend to see these big bets and, at retail locations up and down the Las Vegas Strip and in New Jersey and so forth. But in online betting for Alabama at BetMGM, they're just kind of clinging into the top 10. They're only taking, for example, like I said, Texas is number one in tickets and number one in money. And to this point, Alabama's only taking about a third of the money that Texas is taking. Again, Texas number one in, or rather a third of the tickets that Texas is taking, excuse me. And only about 20% of the money that Texas is taking. And then there's a host of teams between Texas and Alabama, not only in the odds board, but also in terms of tickets and money, which is an unusual spot for Alabama to be in. This is a team that's always 1, 2, 3, 4 on the odds board, often leading the tickets and money. And if not, then certainly right there near the top. But there are several teams between Texas and Alabama this year, which is a bit unusual. And to your point, the odds movement at BetMGM and perhaps others, there may be some hesitancy there, but there also might be some opportunity there to get Alabama. I almost said Alabummer. Alabama at a number you wouldn't usually see.
Well, I think the folks at Auburn are hoping that it's an Alabummer of a season, because they always do. But we all know that the Iron Bowl wraps up every regular season there between those two rivals. Auburn coming off of certainly a disappointing season. It's a make or break type year for Auburn for Hugh Freeze, I should say, and the Auburn Tigers. So I know you've got some information on Auburn. I'm curious what Seamus McGee over at BetMGM had to say about Auburn, because this is a team that I'll say I'm intrigued by with, the talent that they've brought in. So what have you heard about Auburn and the action they've received?
Right. That's a team. I didn't put Seamus on the spot about Auburn specifically. I just said, hey, give me a couple of teams that you think are kind of under the radar outfits, if you will. And the first thing he said, I'd keep an eye on Auburn. I think they've had a pretty decent portal, and I think Hugh Freeze might be able to surprise some people this year. So he thinks they might be worth a look if you're looking for a little bit of a longer shot. And maybe you look to the SEC championship odds as opposed to the college football playoff championship odds. But Auburn opened 60-1 at BetMGM. Early in May, they were out to 70-1. And now as we sit here in early June, They are at 66-1. So they've been kind of in that same range. You could still get a pretty good number on them if you feel like maybe Auburn's going to make a little bit of noise. And again, you could always look to the SEC championship market too if you wanted to. Obviously, you're going to get a much shorter number, but if you're looking for something that doesn't extend you all the way out to having to win the championship game in the middle of January, maybe that's worth a look as well.
All right, a couple other teams that you noted that you wanted to just touch on here. What about USC? Another kind of make or break type of season with Lincoln Riley and the Trojans. So what have you heard about USC entering this year?
Yeah, this is interesting because the Trojans opened 80-1 at BetMGM. They're actually out to 100-1 now, plus 10,000, taking very modest amount of tickets and money. But it doesn't take much in the way of tickets and money at those prices for liability to stack up. And this is a team that Seamus McGee brought him up. He said, look, we're definitely seeing it here, even though we've stretched out a little bit on them. He said, I can tell you there's been a noticeable amount of money being bet on USC to crash the party this year. The Trojans are our biggest liability at the moment for college football playoff championship futures. And he said that's definitely a team with a high ceiling if things go well for Lincoln Riley. And obviously they have to go a lot better than last season, but there are some early bettors who think that maybe there's some value there at those longer numbers.
Well, I know Brad Powers alluded to, he bets numbers, and I think he mentioned that he did take I believe 50-1 shot on USC to win the Big Ten. And then another quarterback that we talked about, we had David Hale on last week as he went through his extensive work on quarterback tiers, and a quarterback he highlighted that, you know, maybe getting a little under the radar. A lot of people talk about DJ Lagway of Florida, but if you look at it statistically, CJ Bailey at NC State had a pretty comparable freshman season. And I think that was another team in NC State that you might have some kind of interesting notes on.
Absolutely. This is one that Seamus McGee really likes as well. And again, to refresh, Seamus McGee is the trading manager for BetMGM, but specifically he's really heavily involved in their college football offerings. So he's really dialed in on college football. And he said, look, you look at this if it's a real, really big time flyer for the national championship. But he said, if you're looking for a conference outright long shot, I don't hate a flyer on NC State. And he added, I think the schedule falls very kindly upon the Wolfpack in the ACC. No Clemson, no SMU, no Louisville. Their hardest game of the year will be at Miami, and that is later in the season, mid-November. And he noted, he said, they at least come off a bye when that game comes around. I'm double-checking to make sure that. And that is indeed the case. They are home against Georgia Tech, then they get a bye, and then they are at Miami. And he also noted there's a real world where this team could be 6-0 going into their non-conference game against your Notre Dame Fighting Irish on Saturday, October 11th. And looking at the schedule, you could certainly see 6-0. East Carolina, Virginia at home, Wake and Duke on the road, and then home against Virginia Tech, and then an FCS opponent in Campbell before they face Notre Dame. So there's a decent chance they could be 6-0, and again, Miami is really the only, along with Notre Dame, but Miami within the conference is really the only roadblock on their schedule. So he really likes them.
Well, if you like NC State, win total at Circa sitting at a flat 6, minus 20 to the over. DraftKings is 6.5, but you get plus money to the over there. So just worth noting, that was certainly something of interest there. All right, I'll finish with this. You're a Colorado alum. The buzz has been there in Boulder the last 2 years. Prime's still there, but obviously Travis Hunter has moved on to the NFL. Second overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shedeur Sanders, now a member of the Cleveland Browns. So big names, not necessarily on the roster. They did go and get Caden Salter from Liberty to be their quarterback this upcoming season. And they've got a prize recruit there to battle Caden Salter. So Colorado, they were kind of the team that everybody loved to bet year 1 and 2 of Coach Prime. Are they getting the same level of interest right now heading into year 3 of the Prime era in Boulder?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's definitely fallen off a cliff here. There was obviously a lot of the interest was look, Coach Prime is going to be responsible for generating a lot of the interest, certainly in year 1. But as year 1 evolved, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter helped with that. And definitely in year 2, those two were a key component to what drew all this public betting action on Colorado. So right now, I mean, by this point, last year and the year before, BetMGM and others were like, we are, you know, if somehow Colorado is good, we are in a lot of trouble, you know, whether it's conference futures or win totals or heaven forfend in their case, but I would have loved it, obviously, winning a national championship. This year, as we get into summer here, they're not seeing nearly that kind of activity. What Seamus McGee said, again, the training manager for BetMGM, he said, it sure feels dead compared to years past, but let's see what happens when the year starts. He said, most bettors don't need an excuse to flock to Coach Prime if they start hot. So if Colorado gets going, surely the public is going to be happy to jump on the Coach Prime bandwagon. But right now, they are really hesitant. Now, Colorado still might be among the top. I'm looking at the numbers here at BetMGM. They're probably among the top 20 teams in tickets and money. But once you get beyond the top 8 to 10, then you're talking about 1.5% of tickets, 1% of money, that sort of thing. So it's not like it's a whole lot. Although I will say they're at 150-1 odds. They have not moved off of 150-1 at all. So they're not moving them at all. And the enthusiasm for my Buffaloes is not what it was the past two summers.
Got a pretty big game to start the season there as they take on Georgia Tech at home. And right now, Colorado is a home dog on that Friday night, I believe, to start the college football season. 3.5 at most shops there. 6.5 juiced under if you do want to fade the Buffs. And if you want to buy in on the Buffs, 6 juiced over at Circa on their win total. Hey, Patrick, always appreciate it. I'm sure we'll do it again this summer with your great insight. And folks, make sure to follow him. Many of you, I'm sure, already are at Patrick_Key_Vegas. The best in the biz when it comes to getting all the information that you need from behind the counter. Patrick, appreciate it, sir. And let's talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
There he is, Patrick Everson. And that's going to do it for the podcast, folks. Thanks to Patrick. Appreciate that insight. Hopefully you guys like that as well. Thanks to Paul Stone, professional handicapper, giving us his thoughts on Game of the Year lines. My name is Tim Murray. Please rate, review, and subscribe, as this has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.